Would you introduce yourself, please?
Hello, my name is Freya Ridings.
So here's what I want to start with, and this is kind of an odd question. What do you wish so far that someone would ask you that nobody has?
I think things that I do in my spare time, like other parts of my life, because I do adore songwriting and music, and it's a huge part of my life. Well, not really anymore, but like there are things that I love, yeah.
What are some things you do in other parts of your life, Freya?
I love to bake. I love running with my, I take my brother out because he used to be homeschooled. So I was like his kind of PE teacher. So I used to take him out running through the forests, and he loved rugby and I love basketball. So we made a hybrid game called Rugby Basket. Love playing that. I love, baking with my mom. It isn't as dangerous as you would think, but he's a very big, strong 16-year-old now. So, yeah. So there are other elements. I love dogs as well, but music is my number one, to be honest.
Your first song was at age 9, so we've gotten that over with. But you composed it for a camping trip with your dad.
I saw one of my friend's dads playing, and my dad writes and plays on guitar. And so as a chubby little ginger 9-year-old, I just thought, I don't know what made me think, next year I'm going to come back and I'll have written my own song and I'll play it around the campfire. And I did it. And it was just this kind of, I was so dyslexic at school that I really struggled academically. So it became this anchor that just got me through the hardest time of school.
If a music teacher is aware that somebody has this, why would they give up on you? Why wouldn't they get creative and say, okay, you know what? She's got a gift. We can figure out a way around reading.
I guess I've been lucky with some teachers in my life and I've been unlucky with others. And most of the music teachers I had just seems to be very rigid and old school in the way of, if you can't read the music, you can't play the music. And so I could hear these songs in my head and I could work it out like note by note, but that wasn't really the norm. So I went off and I sort of just did my own thing from then on, and it really helped me.
Your parents were obviously immensely supportive, because I always maintain that being a parent is the trickiest thing on earth. Living is tricky, but being a parent and figuring out, so your parents must have been really supportive.
I think that it's probably the only reason why I'm here and able to do this, to be honest, because they come from those little creative backgrounds and those those kind of creative careers that not everyone understands. So when I sort of said I wanted to do it, they weren't scared for me. They weren't like, oh no, you have to do a normal job and go to university. They were like, no, we'll do everything in our power to support this and make this, as close to a reality for you. And that meant the world to me, because I care a lot about their opinion.
It worked out really well for that McCartney guy, didn't it?
He did all right. He's definitely one of my biggest heroes for that. Because as a dyslexic, girl growing up, hearing that you could write songs and it wasn't weird to do it the way I wrote songs, because I feel like a lot of the time people just were very confused. They were like, but why don't you just play other people's songs like normal children? And I was like, I just had these songs in my head and they needed to come out. And it's kind of therapy for me.
Solved you starting out doing cover songs initially. I mean, finally, when you got to MAPS, you had other ways to make that work. But it kind of saved you and forced you to be original for moment one. And that's probably why you are where we're sitting here today, right?
Yeah, I feel like at the time it was a very sort of dark place, because you feel like you're different from everyone else and that's going to be your downfall. But it's actually, I have huge gratitude for that, because I wouldn't be doing what I love now without it.
I didn't watch Love Island until getting ready for this conversation. And then I did. And I was like, well, number one, 3 songs, which is incredible. But reality shows are kind of interesting, and basically it is a can we get someone into bed fest, right? On the other hand, getting a sink is, look, you know where the money is. You've probably learned, you're young, but you've already learned where the money is in this business. Touring, sinks, right? Publishing, that's where the money is. But a friend of yours, I want to get this right. Tell me about the friend who submitted your song.
Yeah, my friend Ollie, who's a friend of a friend, who said that he knew some people at ITV, the channel that Love Island is broadcast on. He was like, oh, I could send in your stuff. And I was like, that's lovely. Thank you so much. And he did. And obviously they were like, there's no promises that we'll ever use it on anything. So I had zero expectations. And I'm a huge fan of Love Island and the show. So when all my friends were like texting me, you're on Love Island, I was like, I'm in the back of a cab, like, I'm not on Love Island. But it was a huge shock, and I'm very honored that they chose me to use my songs three times.
Like 30 seconds of it on a television show, and next thing you know, 8 quadrillion streams. I mean, that's, it's a very, I mean, when you were growing up, you didn't even have an idea that this is the way it would work, right? Your parents didn't turn to you because they were musicians and, you know, performers and say, by the way, here's how it's going to work.
I feel like the unexpected nature of the way things work in this industry is almost like the kind of beauty of it. You never know who's going to hear it or how. And it's almost like just sort of stand when you put out a single or a record, like you're standing still and you're just letting people come to you. And it's, I'm so, so happy that so many people have come forward, and I feel really supported at the moment. It's lovely.
How do you come to terms with putting your innermost feelings out to the world? Because that is, you know, there's several ways to look at it. From the cynical point of view, it is all the people you're compared to that we're not going to talk about, that's been their success. So that's the cynical way. The other way to look at it is, well, what are you going to write about? Well, you're a female artist. Are you going to write about war? Are you going to be that person? Are you going to write about politics? And that leads to part two of the question, innermost feelings out of the world. But as you're progressing, is that what you continue to do? Have you thought about that at all?
I feel like, although music is, you know, my true love and it's got me through some really hard times, like, people will always be my biggest, like, genuine love. Like, I love people, and those relationships in my life mean a lot to me. And so when the, you know, troubles happen in them, like, music is the first thing I turn to. But I mean, having something to say, it's not always easy, but when you're in a dark place, it somehow, it seems easier to let these things out in song. And I know that for many, many years, the kind of music that I made was not cool. Like, at school, it did not make me cool. At my music college, like, there was, you know, hip-hop and grime artists, and I was, like, just the girl playing ballads. So, but it's always been who I authentically, truly am. And for being, like, so accepted for that, that's what I'm really honored by.
The Brit School is obviously, and you notice I did in, followed in the footsteps of dot, 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 right? What do you think is in the water at the Brit School that suddenly provides, is it the way that they teach? But you kind of shook your head and rolled your eyes the second I said, oh, is there a formula? So let's clear this up, because it's so easy in these kind of conversations. People go, oh, she went to the Brit School, so she's, you know, so, you know, Living Without You, that's someone like you. It's the same song. No, it's not.
I feel like I was so excited to go to the Brit School after so many years of, like, being isolated and the outcast at normal school. I thought that I'd go there and find my people, like my tribe. And I was kind of sadly a bit disappointed by the sort of competitive nature, and people didn't really want to work together. That was sad for me. But I also found a small group of people who were really, really lovely, very hardworking. And they were the ones that really inspired me, not the ones who got signed when they were like 13 and thought they'd made it. So I learned a lot, but I wouldn't say that. It was almost like what it told me I couldn't do that pushed me forward. Sort of, it wasn't really as supportive, but maybe that's a technique. But I feel like anywhere that is open and willing to let, you know, young people who might not have the money to go to other kind of schools to come into the Brit School based on talent alone, I think that's a really beautiful thing.
So what really kind of weirds me out in a positive way, and now I'm going to mention names, is when you talk about learning from Taylor and Adele and Florence, and I'm sitting here going, wait a minute, is there really a next generation already? Because thinking about the fact that Taylor and Florence and Adele are old school, that really tells you something about how fast things can move these days.
I feel like we all get influenced most probably when we're in our like mid to early teens. Like, the music we listen to, we kind of imprint on another level. And for mine was like 2008 was like Taylor Swift's second album, Fearless, and like Florence's first album, Lungs. That was a decade, and I can't believe it. I actually don't know. It's shocking. It just shows you that you just gotta, you know, get on and do what you love, because time just disappears. And I can't believe I'm getting to do it now.
How did you decide to have your own label? Talk to me about studio and mastering and all of that. Let's zip from the Brit School to today really fast.
I just, after so many years of writing and playing piano on my own, it's just the kind of incredible experience to be able to go into these studios with these incredibly talented producers who can help, because I'm an independent artist, I'm with an independent label, and it's a very small group of people. It's like a family. It's like people expect like labels to be like rooms and rooms of people, but it's like just one sort of big kitchen table, and I know everyone so well, and you know, it's a real team effort. And so it's incredible when people, you know, say, oh, I've done these things, because it's taken an army, and I'm so lucky to have the people working on it I do. But finishing the album, is just a really strange feeling after 10 years of writing to actually have an almost finished album. And I just can't wait to share a more kind of produced, slightly more cinematic version of the songs. I feel like because this was my first record, and I mean, I do put a lot of pressure on myself to sort of make things better than the last time, because obviously I have two live albums out. So I wanted to sort of take it up a gear. But I'm a person who, working with people that really sort of ground me and put me at ease and that are very sort of calm and confident, that means a lot to me. So I spent a long time trying to find the right people to work with. And there is a variety.
I actually have a shirt that I got probably 25 years ago that was designed just for the proms. This is where we're going. This is a tux shirt, and it's got this really wild collar and then like where the buttons are. So people here don't know about the proms, but the proms was your excuse to play the infamous Royal Albert Hall the first time. So tell us about the proms for people who don't know what that is.
So it's like a celebration that the BBC does every year of different kinds of genres of music, and they have like music from around the world and like orchestral music and film music. It's stunning. And I was part of a children's choir. My school was selected as part of many schools that, as my little 7-year-old self standing on stage in our little yellow t-shirts. I think there was about like 200 or 300 of us standing on the stage. And I just had this vivid memory of looking down at the main stage and being like, oh, I wonder if I could ever play there, like as a grown up. And to be able to come back and support Tears for Fears last year was actually just, it might actually be my favorite night ever. Like I couldn't, just to have my parents there, and it was just so lovely because my mum couldn't come to the proms when I was played when I was 7 because we just had my little brother and she was like had to stay home and look after him, and I was so gutted. And my dad came, but to have her and my dad there years later just meant so much.
What is the filter? How do you know it's your song? Because someday you're going to be writing for other people too, and they're going to come after you and say, make me one of those.
That's really interesting because I've never written with writing for other people in mind. It's always just been what I let come from my subconscious is kind of me. But that would be a huge honor to write for other people, and something that I've always respected about, you know, people like Lady Gaga and like Meghan Trainor and like, you know, other artists, female songwriters. So I'd love to do it. But I always say, like, with like picking a cover, it's almost like choosing a Pokemon, like they have to choose you back. And I feel like sometimes you write a song and you just know that it's not meant for you to sing, and that's totally fine. But there are some songs that I write a lot from personal experience, and I couldn't imagine anyone else singing them.
Stage fright. The apple is still at the core of your ritual, is it not?
The apple is. I found this, that my friend told me a little trick that if you eat an apple, like a few sort of minutes before you go on stage, it really helps like with pronunciation and like vocal. You don't get any vocal clicks, so you're like, you lose that thing. And also it's just become a little ritual that sort of gets me ready for the show. Yeah, I eat an apple.
The buzz, the hype, getting beyond all the stuff that's about to happen. Having a record in heavy rotation on the A-list on BBC One. How do you take a deep breath? And as you're moving forward, how are you going to stay grounded?
I just honestly spent so long doing this on my own with absolutely zero hype that there is an element of it that's quite exciting and quite, you know, that you feel like you might get swept along with it. But you just have to, my mum is a very grounding presence in my life, and she's very wise, and I listen to her over, you know, a lot of the hype. And she's like, if you believe the hype, then you have to also believe all the negative stuff. And it's almost like once you take your self-validation and give it to other people, they can, it's a bit dangerous. So it's almost like keeping that strength inside of me that says, you know, whether this incredible journey carries on or whether it changes or turns into something else, I'm so grateful that it happened, and I had no expectations at all, so I'm just grateful it happened.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside, and then anything you want to play in between.
Such a good question. And also, I love sandwiches.